Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me for the Friday, November 15th reading of East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. The first article today is from the Scottsdale Progress. It's titled, Lewis Patinsky Sharkey Lead in SUSD Vote, by Tom Scanlon. The most unusual and expensive school board race Scottsdale has seen is nearing the finish line. Though one team of three held a strong lead in early voting, with thousands of votes still to be counted at this edition's deadline, it remained too close to call days after the polls closed. Six candidates, Janine Beasley, Drew Hassler, Gretchen Jacobs, Donna Lewis, Matt Patinsky, and Mike Sharkey are battling for three Scottsdale Unified School District seats. While Scottsdale voters were asked to select up to three individuals, the six formed two de facto teams. Two nights after the polls closed, tentative results from Maricopa County elections showed Lewis in the lead at 19.1%, followed by Patinsky, 18.1%, and Sharkey, 17.9%. Next came Beasley, 16.6%, Jacobs, 15.2%, and Hassler, 14.1%. Lobbyist Jacobs, paralegal Beasley, and coach house bartender owner Hassler are running as JBH with the slogan, Just Be Honest. The three told the Progress they are hybrid, Jacobs and conservatives, Beasley and Hassler. Going by SLP are Sharkey, an Arizona State University executive director, Lewis, former superintendent of Cave Creek Unified School District, and education software entrepreneur Patinsky. They identified to the Progress as centrists, or moderates. Though school board races are nonpartisan, the JBH trio received financial backing from conservative groups and endorsements from local Republican organizations, while the SLP3 received funding from liberal or progressive groups and endorsements from local Democratic organizations. All six SUSD board candidates this year raised nearly as much as the collective field of the six that ran in 2020, with three 2024 individual candidates topping the collective fundraising of board candidates 4 years ago. And campaign finance reports show huge political action committee funds are flooding the Scottsdale Public School race. The Virginia-based conservative organization, the 1776 Project, backed Team JBH Trio with mailers and $57,000 total support, while Arizona advocacy group Stand for Children pushed $140,000 plus to the SLP team. Individually, all six candidates raised at least $30,000, with members of the SLP each topping $50,000. County, state races. The Maricopa County Board of Supervisors has all five seats up for election. In County District 2, which includes Scottsdale, early voting shows incumbent Thomas Galvin, a Republican, as the likely winner. At 58%, Galvin had a huge lead over Julie Sinowoski's 42%. Sinowoski, a Democrat, is a member of the SUSD Governing Board. Legislative District 4. Corrine Warner, who has often traded barbs with Sinowoski at SUSD meetings, won the Republican primary for the Senate District 4 nomination, which includes parts of Scottsdale. School board members are permitted to have other elected positions. Early voting showed Werner at 51%, leading Democrat Christine Marsh's 49%. Republican Matt Gress, who clashed with Mayor David Ortega over Scottsdale's use of a hotel to house homeless people, is running for re-election to represent District 4, which includes most of Scottsdale, with four candidates going for two legislative District 4 representative seats, Gress was leading the pack with 27.1%, followed by Pamela Carter, 24.9%, and Kelly Butler with 24.4%, and Karen Gresham, 23.6%. Republican Carter unsuccessfully ran for Scottsdale City Council in 2022. Gresham and Butler are Democrats. Democrat Laura Terich, who holds the other District 4 House of Representatives seat, did not file for re-election. Legislative District 3. Parts of North Scottsdale are included in District 3, where Republican John Kavanaugh is the incumbent senator and Republicans Alexander Colodin and Joseph Chaplick are the representatives. All are up for re-election. Richard Corles is the lone Democrat on the ballot for representative of District 3. Kavanaugh was a walk-in winner, facing no challengers for his seat. In the race for two legislative District 3 representative seats, Chaplick, 39%, and Colodin, 37%, had strong leads, with Corles likely out at 24%. Paradise Valley? In the race to be mayor of Paradise Valley, Mark Stanton had a strong lead with 52.6% of the votes. Anna Tom Assen was trailing at 45.8%. Stanton, currently a councilman with Paradise Valley, is president and CEO of the Scottsdale Area Chamber of Commerce. And that article was titled, Lewis, Patinsky, Sharkey, Lead in SUSD Vote. Neighbors Send Legal Challenge Over Axon Plan by Tom Scanlon. With the revised plan, he said, answered all of neighbors' concerns, Rick Smith pledged to make peace with the Stonebrook 2 neighborhood. No thanks, neighbors are saying. Susan McGarry, president of the Stonebrook 2 HOA, said the group has hired an attorney to make a legal challenge to Axon's plan. The easy part of the story? Axon, the taser maker launched by Chaparral High School grad Smith, plans to build a spaceship-inspired office, surrounded by apartments and a hotel, on 50 acres of former state land just south of Loop 101 and Hayden Road. With rezoning required, Smith and Axon will go before the Planning Commission this week, followed by Scottsdale City Council, which has ultimate authority over the rezoning Axon is requesting. The city should slam on the brakes, Douglas A. Jordan insists. The Stonebrook attorney wrote a November 4th letter to City Attorney Sherry Scott to object to the hurried process currently proposed for review of Axon's pending application for rezoning so that Axon can add hotel, retail, restaurants, and dwelling units contrary to the city's general plan. Stonebrook 2 is a community of 174 homes adjacent to Axon's land, just off the Hayden Road exit of the Loop 101. Via a company spokesman, Axon responded to the Stonebrook attorney's letter. Axon's efforts to seek City of Scottsdale approval for its new global headquarters have been ongoing since 2020, with the proposal to incorporate a mixed-use component being filed in the early summer of 2023, more than a year ago. This is hardly the hurried process objected to by Mr. Jordan in his letter, which he failed to provide to Axon. As Axon has for the last 4 years, we will continue to work with Scottsdale, its elected leaders, and city planning staff to make over the $1 billion Axon campus better for all concerned, including residents who live nearby. Jordan's letter to the city attorney challenged Axon's argument that a proposal to add hotel, retail, restaurant, and residential uses is a minor and not major general plan amendment. And the Stonebrook attorney demanded to know, why would the city side with Axon to approve what appears to be one of the largest apartment complexes in the city's history, rather than follow the land use plan in the general plan that received citizen approval? Axon's response to that? Mr. Jordan's letter erroneously relates the criteria for a general plan amendment and misses the mark in saying that the campus will not be a regional use. Axon's world headquarters will bring people to Scottsdale for conventions and events that would normally be held in different states, feature restaurants where a current vacant lot contributes nothing, and provide new residents to help address the Valley's housing supply crisis. And, as it has before, the taser maker suggested what could happen on the land. Axon's proposed campus is a far better option for the area than an industrial park, the use for which the land is zoned today. The current zoning would allow a distribution warehouse, aeronautical use, self-storage facility, or a communication tower up to 100 feet in height, or a vehicle emissions testing facility, among other uses. Local routes. 2 weeks ago, Smith drew a map of Scottsdale locations key to his life and career, including Chaparral High School, which he attended after his father moved his family here, his childhood home near the Scottsdale-Paradise Valley border, and the locations in Scottsdale of his company, Taser, which was rebranded as Axon in 2017. Now, he needs city approval to launch his moonshot plan of a spaceship-like office surrounded by apartments and a hotel in North Scottsdale. After being rebuffed by the airport and planning commissions, I was a little hurt. Look, I'm a human being, Smith said. Thus far this year, things didn't go so well. Even as Axon Global sales, revenues approaching $2 billion annually, and stock value, $444 on October 30th, double what it was a year ago, rocketed, Smith was suffering humiliating defeats at home with a string of city meetings. His revised vision for Axon World Headquarters Campus Mixed Campus is expected to return to the Scottsdale Planning Commission November 13th, followed by the Scottsdale Council on November 19th. Smith is a futuristic fanatic who wants Axon's next office to look like something out of a Star Wars movie. With more police officers using non-lethal taser stun guns, Smith pledges to cut gun deaths and in policing by 50% by 2032. Earlier this year, Smith threatened to leave his adopted hometown. It's not clear that Scottsdale wants Axon, as we're seeing the political environment become more challenging and, frankly, anti-development, Smith said, during a February 27th call with Axon investors. It's unclear if we'll get the approvals we need to execute our product or project, so we're exploring several geographies and other options. His new softened message about the Live, Work, Eat, Play campus? I do want to build this. We might have to do it somewhere else, but only if we get rejected. After Axon purchased state land near the Loop 101 and Hayden Road for $49 million in 2020, a plan for an expanded headquarters was quickly approved with a city development agreement. Then, in mid-2023, Axon announced new plans for an unprecedented live-work corporate campus. The plan requires rezoning, as the land was sold with industrial zoning that prohibits residential development. The plan wobbled under intense criticism at city meetings. First, the Airport Advisory Commission listened to neighbor complaints and unanimously rejected Axon's rezoning request to allow 2,000 apartments spread over four tall buildings and a hotel. More turbulence for Axon's local moonshot plan came from the Planning Commission, which also refused to approve the plan, demanding more information. Though Axon received an indefinite extension from the Planning Commission, one commissioner, Christian Serena, complained to the city attorney that an Axon representative called his employer in an alleged attempt to intimidate him. Axon denied the claims. Serena's term on the commission has expired. Smith insists the revised plan puts action to the discussions. The neighbors previously had a hotel next to him, he said, flipping through a presentation. They didn't want that, so we moved the hotel and put condos closer to them. The executive summary of the revised Axon plan, submitted October 24th, highlights walkable shaded paths, tree-lined streets and sidewalks, a running path, a dog park, and 64% additional open space than what's required by the zoning ordinance. We did these things to create quality spaces for our employees, residents, visitors, and neighbors. While neighbors and some others around the city insist Axon should stick to its original plan and just build an office without the hotel and apartment buildings, Smith sounds like he's digging in his heels. The campus vibe, it's something that doesn't exist in Arizona. We want to plant the flag here, Smith declared. And that article was titled, Neighbors Send Legal Challenge Over Axon Plan. Bar mogul faces federal fraud charges, by Tom Scanlon. Earlier this year, with plans to top his growing restaurant roster with swanky bar restaurants in Scottsdale and Gilbert, Aaron Wagner appeared to be flying high in an $8 million private jet. Now, his East Valley plans may have crashed and burned. Wagner, a part-time Scottsdale resident who planned Swags in the Entertainment District and Bottled Blonde in Gilbert, was bottled up behind bars for 2 weeks before being released with a GPS monitoring device. An investor with Wagner's Wags Capital, who asked not to be named, said he was one of many Wagner scammed. There are hundreds of people that have been screwed over by him and Wags Capital, the investor said. I hope his name becomes synonymous with fraud and is never able to do another deal again. That wish could come true. On October 24th, the 42-year-old Wagner was arrested and booked into a Salt Lake City prison as a federal detainee. According to a charge filed by the U.S. Attorney's Office, Wagner devised a scheme to defraud private investors in restaurant businesses. In the complaint, FBI agent Brad Simon said he investigated Wagner and his various companies. Simon said he found the Wags Capital founder used $2 million from an investor intended for a restaurant venture to help purchase an $8.3 million airplane. According to the federal complaint, Wagner would show off his lavish lifestyle, including personal jets, exotic vehicles, luxury vacations, etc., to induce investors to believe that he was a successful businessman. But according to the court document, many of these indicators of success were in fact financed by investor funds he had stolen from the very businesses they were meant to support. In a spin on a classic Ponzi scheme, Wagner is accused of using funds from newer investors to fund a separate failing project for an earlier group of investors that included himself or his own entities in order to conceal the fact that he'd already squandered or diverted the investors' money. Wagner, a former college football player who's been living primarily in Utah, has limited liability companies in Scottsdale, Wagner Financial Services and Wagner Capital, and Gilbert, Wagner Capital Management, according to statements with the Arizona Corporation Commission. Wags and Swags. Earlier this year, while battling with nightclub rivals the Yari Brothers in Scottsdale, Wagner simultaneously attempted to launch a Bottled Blonde bar in Gilbert. After public meetings where the plan was bashed by neighbors, the Gilbert Redevelopment Commission voted 5-0 February 21st to approve the final design for Bottled Blonde in the town's Heritage District. It was subsequently passed by the town council. Wags Capital and Wags Cap were alternately listed as the developer in a plan submitted to Gilbert. Founded in Scottsdale a decade ago, Bottled Blonde locations have since opened in Dallas, Houston, and Miami. A Chicago location was closed after complaints on noise and rowdiness. The Gilbert location stalled. According to Kristen Devine, a Gilbert senior planner, Wags Capital has applied for building permits, but they have not been approved at this time. I believe they still need to submit corrections to the plans, but I don't have a timeline for when they expect to do so. Back in Scottsdale, Wagner Wags Capital submitted an application for a swanky new dining experience called Swags in March of 2023. It went through several revisions before receiving unanimous approval from the Planning Commission in September 2023. It took until January 9th for City Council to consider the application for rezoning, which listed Wags Cap LLC as the proposed restaurant owner and EPH Schumann LLC as owner of the property located at 7234 East Schumann Lane. But according to the application, Wags Capital purchased the property at 7323 East Schumann Lane with the intention of renovating the site that will bring a destination dining experience to the east side of Scottsdale Road. Swags would be a three-story social eatery, the application promised. The application will transform a dilapidated bar into a new and exciting upscale restaurant. The Yari brothers, executives of Scottsdale Capital Partners, were not buying that. At city meetings, Scottsdale attorney Tim Lasota said Wagner was trying to open a loud bar, not a fine dining restaurant, that would disturb those staying at Yari Group's under-construction 12-story Maya Hotel. The Swags application also tried to use a local owner pitch. Aaron Wagner, the founder of Wags, is a resident of Scottsdale and is excited to bring another creative dining concept to the city that he and his family call home. Wagner told The Progress he and his family are only in Scottsdale on a part-time basis. The Swags application, said Wagner, is behind scores of restaurants, including Everbowl, Crumble Cookies, Dirty Bird Kitchen, Hello Sugar, Mas Por Favor, Electric Fish, and Morning After Brunch Club. Les Carreri, owner of Bottled Blonde and several other bars in the entertainment district, urged City Council to approve Swags. I also want to express my support for the project's owner, Aaron Wagner, Carreri wrote. Aaron is an exceptional operator and a true professional, with a proven record of success operating nearly 100 restaurants nationwide. Though four members of City Council, Tammy Caputi, Tom Durham, Betty Janik, and Solange Whitehead, voted for Wagner's rezoning request, Council members Barry Graham and Kathy Littlefield and Mayor David Ortega voted against it, failing to get the supermajority of at least 5 votes required by the neighboring business owners' protest. Swag's rezoning request failed. In January, Wagner told The Progress the city was pandering to the Yari brothers, who he insisted were trying to create a monopoly. He said he paid $4.5 million for the property at 323 East Schumann Lane that he planned to convert to Swag's. Around the corner in the entertainment district, city and council records show Carreri and LMS 96 as the owners of 7340 East Indian Plaza, the building where Bottled Blonde and Casa Amigos serve food and drinks. Despite Wags Capital's planned Gilbert Bottled Blonde, Carreri said Wagner isn't involved in any of my businesses. Last year, Carreri told The Progress of his plan to open a $50 million Bottled Blonde on the Las Vegas Strip in late 2024. Carreri did not respond to a request for an update on the Las Vegas Bottled Blonde. Lavish lifestyle. Losing out in Scottsdale and stalling in Gilbert proved to be the least of Wagner's problems in 2024. According to the federal charging document, Wagner successfully defrauded these investors of millions of dollars, all while living a lavish lifestyle, funded in large part by these stolen investment funds. With investor money, Wagner bought multiple million-dollar homes, several luxury automobiles, designer watches, and 3 airplanes, among other things. He often paid off monthly credit card bills in excess of $100,000 using investor funds. Many of the restaurants promised to investors were never built. Lawyers apparently are lining up for civil cases against Wagner as well. According to Salt Lake City TV station KSL, Wagner, Wags Cap Food, and Dynamic Capital, managed by Wagner, are being sued in 4th District Court in Provo for breach of contract by three Florida investors. They say they provided $750,000 to Wags Capital Food in 2022 to build four Dirty Bird locations in Utah, but never got the $2.25 million they were promised in return. On his website, Wagner said getting cut from his eighth grade team stuck with him, inspiring him to get a college scholarship, NFL tryout, and brief pro football career in the Canadian Football League. At the now offline WagsCapital.com, Wagner boasted how a modest condo flip while he was in college was the unofficial start of Wags Capital. He claimed his company has done transactions totaling over $1 billion, including opening dozens of restaurants around the country. Asked if he plans more venues in Scottsdale, Wagner months ago told The Progress he was frustrated by the rejection, but has mixed emotions because I love the city of Scottsdale so much. I love everything about the people there, and the locals, and just the vibe, the entertainment, everything. No bail request. Wagner was at first charged alone, but his business partner, Michael Maines, was added as a co-defendant last week. On November 8th, a federal judge rejected the government's request for Wagner to be incarcerated until his trial, claiming he's a serious flight risk who has attempted to use obstruction and witness intimidation. Wagner's release stipulations include that he turn over his passport, not leave Utah, and not go near or on the location of the plane he owns. Wagner entered not guilty pleas to each of the 16 federal charges against him. He and Maines are accused of making up loans to each other to hide assets. And that's all the time we have left for that article, which was titled, Bar Mogul Faces Federal Fraud Charges. You've been listening to the East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. Did you know that your favorite programs are available anytime, on demand, at sunsounds.org? I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. I hope you have a great rest of your day.